In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you as we begin a new week. We just had the Ascension and preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. What an awesome time of the year. What an awesome week. And it's going to be an awesome week for a number of reasons. Also, in addition, of course, the most important being preparing to receive the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. I'm on a speaking tour starting this week. I'm starting off tonight at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Rowena, Texas. I want to thank Deacon Allen, who's been such a wonderful host, and is starting a week-long tour. So St. Joseph Catholic Church tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. The theme of the tour, by the way, is Behold the Lamb. It's a two-part talk. So the first talk's going to be about 45, 50 minutes about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, followed by a short break, and then the Eucharist and evangelization, how the Eucharist prepares us to bear witness to the beauty and truth of our Catholic faith to the world, and how to effectively do that, especially for kids who are away from the church. So that's going to be the emphasis tonight, the Eucharist, part one, the Eucharist and evangelization, part two. So can't wait for you to join us. Again, if you're in the Rowena, Texas area, and by the way, they love EWTN here. All I've been hearing about since I've arrived is about Father Mitch Pacwa and, you know, how much they love him down here. And so it's awesome. Awesome to be amongst. Well, first of all, to hear him talk about my mentor, my professor, you know, and he's the reason why I'm doing the things I'm doing now. I was so blessed to study under him at the graduate level, theology at the graduate level. It's just one of the highlights of my entire life was studying under Father Mitch. And so when I come to places and I hear them talking about him so wonderfully and what a great influence he's been, as well as EWTN and Mother Angelica, it sends a chill down my spine. And I'm honored and blessed to be part of this EWTN family. So tonight, Rowena, Texas, St. Joseph Catholic Church, 6 to 8 p.m. Then tomorrow I'll be in Buda, Texas. Then on Wednesday at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Fayetteville, Texas, again from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, Vacherie, Louisiana at St. Philip Catholic Church, again in Vacherie, Louisiana. Again, all the talks are from 6 to 8 p.m. And then Most Blessed Sacrament Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Friday, May 22nd from 6 to 8. Then Saturday, St. Joseph Catholic Church in Shreveport, Louisiana, 4 o'clock Mass, 5 o'clock dinner, event from 6 to 8 p.m. And then Sunday, it's Pentecost, so no one's obviously not going to be doing any talks on Pentecost Sunday. I'm actually going to spend that day with my sister, who I love very much, and my niece and nephew, who I haven't seen in a very long time, so I'm excited to spend some time with my sister. And then Monday, Leeds, Alabama. So right there near where EWTN is, St. Teresa Catholic Church in Leeds, Alabama on Monday from 6 to 8. And then I go up to Arkansas. I'll be speaking at Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas on Wednesday, May 27th. So I have an open day on the 26th. So, you know, if you're in that Arkansas area on the way from Alabama to Arkansas, want me to stop in for a free talk, just go to my website, deaconharold.com, reach out to my event manager, and they will take care of you. All right. Or unless I just have a day to prepare more shows for Beacon of Truth. Either way, it's going to be a work day for me, which I, again, so honored and blessed and thrilled to be doing what God has called me to do. Well, all right. Today, my friends, we just celebrated the Ascension, and now we're preparing for Christ and the Father to send the Holy Spirit to us. So Jesus ascended, but as the angel said to the apostles, why are you looking up at the sky? this Jesus who you've just seen taken up to heaven will come back again. Ooh, so I saw that and I thought, oh, you know what? That is going to be a great theme for the show, which is the theme for today, the second coming of Jesus. How are you preparing for the second coming of Jesus? Now, we're going to talk about this. Why? So many people have said, well, I know when the end of the world is going to be, when Jesus is going to come again. And, you know, obviously that's no one knows the day or the hour. Jesus makes that very, very clear in the scriptures. And we've seen over and over again, you know, the late 60s and early 70s and even the year 2000, the Y2K, end of the world because no one knows the day or the hour except for God the Father. He knows when the day or the hour is going to be for the end of the world and when Jesus is going to come again. So it's nothing we have to worry about, nothing we have to fear, try to figure out. What we need to be prepared for is the end of our world. Because Jesus will come for the second time in our life when we die and we're standing before him for the particular judgment. There's going to be two judgments. There's the particular judgment, which is the judgment that we receive from Jesus right after we die. Then we know right then whether we're going to heaven or hell. May have to make a pit stop in purgatory first, but that's okay. If you're there, you're on the way to heaven. What did Mother Angelica once say? When she gets to purgatory, she's going to do a jig because she knows that she's going to make it. You know, so if you're in purgatory, you're going to heaven. You just have to be purged of those last vestiges, those last attachments to sin. Because as the book of Revelation says, no sin, not even the desire to sin, can exist in heaven. So we need to prepare for the coming of Jesus when he comes again in our life at our death. And of course, he is going to come again at the end of the world. But he's also going to come at the end of our world. And that's what we're talking about today, the second coming of Jesus. How are you preparing for Jesus coming into your life at the end of your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Outside of North America, dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us at beacon@ew10.com. And you can now text your questions to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. How are you preparing for the second coming of Jesus? Not at the end of the world, but at the end of your world. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Well, we don't have to wait for the end of is the end of the show to let you know about the great crew that brings you this show every day. I'm talking about Matt Kabinsky, who will be screening your calls today, Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media, and of course, our producer. You don't have to wait for the second coming of Ace because he's already here. Ace McKay! Ace, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, it's funny that you say, you know, people say that they know that Jesus is coming soon. I think I've heard literally my whole life, and I'm 54 this year. I've heard my entire life, Jesus coming any day now. He's coming any day. And I've heard, and granted, if that's someone in celebration because they're like, you know, just excited for that day, I get it. But when you feel like you are, like the world is so falling apart that, well, clearly he's coming because look at the state of the world. I mean, the world continues to get worse and worse, right? It's supposed to go to hell in a handbasket. So it's like, at some point, we got to stop saying that and make sure that we're preparing ourselves and the others around us.
Yeah, you know, and I think that kind of thinking comes from the book of Revelation, because it gives us some clues to when Jesus is going to come again. There's going to be this going on and wars and rumors of wars and all these kinds of things going on. And when people look around and see what's going on, they think, this must be it.
Yeah.
This must be the end times. We've been in the end of times since the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
Right.
We've been in the end times, you know, in the last days, right, as St. Paul says. We talk about the last days since Jesus rose from the dead and sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Yeah. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years, you know. So what we need to be, again, we need to prepare for the end of our world, not the end of the world, which we don't know when it's going to happen. We have no control over it all. You know, and again, a book of Revelation, but again, uses a lot of symbolic language to talk about it. But again, it doesn't really tell us when, because we don't know. Only God knows.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's also good, you know, having a creative translation allows us to be able to have the conversation, right? What do you think this means? What do you, you know, because again, the more you talk about it, even if you don't, which we'll never fully understand it anyway, but at least in the discussion, it embarks on opportunities to tell others to get ready.
Yeah, that's it. We got to get ready. The second coming of Jesus, that's our topic today. How are you preparing for Christ coming at the end of your world? 833-288-3986. All right.
If Jesus is coming soon.
What is that reminding me of? Oh, that has a very familiar ring to it.
I feel like if Jesus is coming soon, this would be like an anthem.
Yeah, here he comes. Okay.
Crank up the band.
This, it doesn't sound like, I can't think of the song I was thinking of in my head, but this sounds like, believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought, that song?
I was thinking,
it's
yeah,
kind of like upbeat
from Greatest American Hero, yeah.
Yes, Greatest American, yes, that's right.
I was thinking more Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Oh, okay, yes.
Because the intro of that is.
That's okay. That's what I was thinking.
That's where
of.
You were. Yeah.
That's
I got you.
The song I was thinking of. That's it. That's it. Yep.
And
yep.
Then every time you hear that song, you just want to get a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I like you know, mine again, with
I love listening to stuff like that. It just brings me back to, like, you know, I think childhood and the kinds of things I was listening to. And that's why I love having such a diverse musical palette. You know, I can appreciate so many different genres and styles of music.
Yeah,
you know, I'm so glad. You know, my father being a professional musician, and then me growing up listening to just all kinds, being exposed to and listening to all kinds of music. Of course, my traditional music from the Caribbean, you know, which I grew up with. You know, again, my dad, a professional touring musician, and then singing in the choirs in schools and learning how to play guitar, and I mean, all those things is just it's really. And it does help shape me, in a sense, to the person I am today.
Sure.
You know, the way I even think, the way I approach things. I even think mathematics, you know, my propensity for accounting and those kinds of things, I think, you know, because a lot of music is kind of mathematical based as well.
Yeah, and also you mentioned Greatest American Hero. It's funny because as a kid, like, one of my favorite analogies that really made it crystal clear of, like, the importance of God's word in our lives was a comparison of he lost the manual to the suit, so therefore he didn't know how to use it properly. So the same way with God's word, if we're not reading the manual of our lives, we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to live it. So that always stuck with me. I'm like, all right. This is making much more sense. Read the Bible. Life will hopefully come together as it should.
Yeah, and it's not even really about memorizing verses for the sake of memorization. I mean, I remember verses because they speak to me. They speak to me in a very powerful way. They draw me closer into Jesus's most sacred heart. But it's not about how much you can memorize. It's about living what's in that word.
Amen.
Putting into practice in your life every day. Yeah. What Jesus is telling us, what God is saying to us in the Old, as in Jesus and Paul in the New Testament, putting it into practical life, that's what matters, where the rubber hits the road. And if you memorize things along the way, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you memorize, like for me, Psalms and certain other scriptures, because that just draws me in deeper into the mystery of God's love.
Well, and when we talk about sharing our own stories, I mean, the reason that you may only really memorize four or five verses is those are the ones that transformed you, that helped shape you. So why not use those four or five to tell your story and then let God point people to their verses, right? Because again, your verse may be an entry into God's word, but then their story is told through other verses.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing, to inspire people to pick up God's word and to engage it, you know, more deeply. You know, and that's one of the things that I try to do when I give my talk on the Mass, which I'm not giving that full talk during this tour, but on the first part of that talk, I talk about the liturgy of the Word, and in the Word, we're not just listening to God; we're falling in love with Him. Mm-hmm. You know, and so the we should be engaging God's Word in such a way that He's really speaking to us at Mass. He's speaking to my heart and my situation and my circumstance and my needs, mm-hmm. you know, so we actually hear God speaking. His word has power and relevance in our own lives. Yes, the word is being proclaimed to the whole church, but God is also speaking to you mm-hmm. personally, mm-hmm. intimately in that word. And so I think the deeper we can engage God's word, the more we get out of Mass, the more we are fed and nurtured by that word. And then fed again and nurtured by the Eucharist, with that double feeding, we're prepared to go out and truly be the person who God created us to be. That's the whole goal.
Yeah, amen.
Well, I love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke, series listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about the second coming of Jesus. Not so much at the end of the world, but the end of our world. You know, that's where it really counts. That's where the rubber hits the road. How are you preparing for the second coming of Jesus in your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Looking forward to this week as we dive into the pro-life pulse. You want to have your finger on the pulse of faith. Also, how you can navigate some of the conversations around and in it is what's happening in the media. You can find out more at EWTNnews.com/pro-life and then even sign up to get in and stay connected through email as well. So find out more at pro-life pulse at EWTNnews.com.
All right, my friends, the second coming of Jesus. How are you preparing for Jesus coming into your life? Not the end of the world, but the end of your world. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Bob is calling from somewhere in North Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Bob, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello?
Yeah, Bob, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I can barely hear you. I think we got a bad connection. But can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, there you go. Okay, you came back now. Okay. Hey, listen, as soon as I was listening to, you know, your intro, which is wonderful, you're always great. I've listened to you for years, and the preparation that we have made for ourselves depends, you know, greatly on how we can continue to do that. You know, which is, that's the bottom line, like you said, that's where the rubber hits the road. But it all starts with the knowledge of Scripture. And when my wife and I started 30 years ago, taking classes at church about Scripture, and learning more about the Old Testament, the New Testament, I mean, that was very fulfilling for us. But as time has come, and I say closer because I was trying to be learning our faith, like I said, 30 years ago. I was 40, 41, 42, you know, 71. So that's all people do. Wow, you know, this old man, he really come a long way.
Yeah, Bob, you're cutting in and out there, my friend.
I think we have a bad connection. But anyway, okay. Just to be open to God's grace and mercy.
We'll yes.
Speaking about the sacraments, the commandments, the Beatitudes. And by doing that, we will always be doing God's will. Inevitably. Allow us to fulfill the Lord's prayer, and that is to do things here on earth as they're done in heaven. That's it, brother.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Bob. And you're right. You know, the scriptures give us a spiritual roadmap, especially, as you said, Jesus' teachings in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, and many of the other teachings, not just the Beatitudes. That whole Sermon on the Mount is just incredible teaching by our Lord. you know, that, that lays the foundation and a roadmap for how we are to live our life. Because remember, he's preparing us for when he dies and rises from the dead, he conquers death and brings salvation into the world. How are we supposed to live in the light of that salvific love, that sacrifice? How are we supposed to make a gift of ourselves to others? He teaches us that all throughout the scriptures. That's his whole point. So you have the, again, the Our Father, the perfect prayer. Why? Because it's the prayer that Jesus teaches us. This is how you are to pray. That's what, because the prayer comes from God himself. That's why it's the perfect prayer. The Beatitudes, you know, Jesus taught us the greatest commandment, right? He synthesizes the Ten Commandments into love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So many of the rich, beautiful, deep teachings of Jesus keep us connected to him. And like I said, that's where the rubber hits the road. We actually put that faith into practice, not just study it, not just show up to Mass on Sunday, but which is great, go to Mass on Sunday, but it has to be more than just that, more than just perfunctory showing up and punching the clock and putting my time in. No, the Mass is preparing us to live in the real world. Nurtured by the Word, we then put that, as I talked about earlier, the putting that Word into practice and how we live, right? How God is leading us on the course through this life to get where? To heaven, our ultimate goal. And so that's what we need to prepare for, the second coming of Jesus. You know, again, not the end of the world. So, you know, and another thing, there's been so many of these dystopian movies that have been on television lately. You know, The Day After Tomorrow, about another ice age. There was another one, Armageddon, you know, this meteorite coming to hit the earth and stuff like that. And what was the one with Keanu Reeves where he plays like an alien? I forget. That was a good one though, where you know the Earth is going to be hit by a solar flare. So he comes to take all the plants samples, like a new Noah's Ark, intergalactical Noah's Ark. He's taking a couple of kids, you know, including this one kid's son. He's taking some children, he's taking some life plants and animals, and put on this new ark that's going to take him to his new planet where humanity will continue to live. You know, so people see things like that and they begin to worry. They think of what's going on in the world. Look at the politics. Look at all this stuff. They think, oh my goodness, look, you have no control over any of that. Don't worry about it. What we need to be focusing on is the end of our world when Jesus comes again and when we die and we stand before him face to face. Will you be ready? That's our topic today. 833-288-EWTN. Preparing for the second coming of Christ in your life. 833-288-3986. Justin is calling from North Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Juan, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, Deacon, how are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on how, you know, I'm preparing for the coming. I think, you know, Jesus left us, you know, the church and her teachings, and a great way to follow that is the catechism. It's almost like a step-by-step playbook, you know, what the church teaches, how scripture, you know, ties into the Mass, how the Mass is, you know, the source and summit of our worship of God. And, you know, I think it's a great, great place to start.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that. Absolutely. And I love the way the catechism is broken down into each of those four sections, you know, so it actually puts our faith into practice. We have the creed, you know, which we pray every Sunday, but when you go through and look at each tenet of the creed and how the catechism explains it, it's beautiful. Then, of course, the sacraments and then the moral life and then prayer. You're right. It's like a comprehensive play manual, if you will. Love that. Would love to hear from you. The second coming of Jesus. How are you preparing for Christ coming into your life? 833-288-3986.
This is one of those where, like, the lead singer, all right, who's having a good time tonight?
Yeah.
I watched, my wife and I watched the Lady Gaga concert that's streaming right now. It's like an hour of her live performance. She didn't stop once. Like, it was all music, all theatrics.
Wow.
Everything ranging from pop to metal to, like, it's just such a smorgasbord. And I'm not necessarily a fan, but as someone who wants the most for my ticket, they got it. And they were singing like a choir back at her. Amazing. So if you're a musician putting a live show together, don't bother me with all the, hey, how are you guys doing? And then trying to hype me up. Like, I'm here to hear you play. Play your songs, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Is she still back to wearing those costumes and stuff again? Or?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's too bad. You know, I didn't really...
Come on now.
Well, no, I really didn't think much of her before. And then I saw, I think someone... I was watching something with my wife. I don't watch television, but every once in a while, if my wife is watching something, I'll just join her just so we can be together a little bit. And it was, I forget how many years ago this was. I think it was the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out with that incredible dress without any of the costumes. And she sang like Tony Bennett songs. So I was like, what? I mean, my jaw hit the ground. First of all, she's incredibly beautiful woman without all the makeup and all this stuff. Because that, to me, that just like, that doesn't speak to me, you know. And then she can sing. I was like, whoa. I mean, I really listened to her for the first time. I was like, wow, she is super talented. But I figured how long this is going to last. But it lasted for a while. In fact, I think she did a duet with Tony Bennett, you know, God rest his soul. I know he's deceased now, but... I really got an appreciation for her. And she's Catholic, although, I mean, she has issues
with
some of the teachings kind of a thing. But, so I just wonder how long that was going to last before she went back to the shtick, stuff.
And I think a good quality artist with true talent at some point eventually meshes into different demographics because they've been around long enough that they just want to express themselves in different ways. You know, you've seen it with Bruce Springsteen, with Madonna, with Cher. I mean, it's just, there's tons of artists that have reinvented themselves or dabbled in something. It's like, I want to go do this for a while. Linda Ronstadt, another one. Once she enveloped her heritage, she got away from the pop and, you know, singer-songwriter stuff and, you know, was all in Spanish. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, it's not what speaks to me, but, I mean, she had a whole other audience waiting for that. So, express yourself the way that you feel is a part of your art. And there'll be a fan base, and may not be for everyone, but it's for someone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for the music and even, entertainment and costume changes and things like that. You know, I've been to concerts where they've done that. But, more of the over the top. I mean, to me, it doesn't add anything to what you're doing. Like her wearing all those, the controversial meat costumes or Madonna being crucified, like, pretending she's being. What is that? That is just, to me. That to me is a sign of weakness in their in their character. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't add anything to their music. I'm there to listen to music and be entertained. I don't mind being entertained, costumes, dancing. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But why throw in that other stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're just trying to be relevant. You're trying to make yourself important. You're trying to make yourself controversial. Look what I'm doing that no one else is doing. Let that speak through the music and let it speak through creativity and art, not trying to raise controversy for the sake of controversy.
Yeah, I mean,
to me that takes away from it.
And I think there are those moments of like, I'm just going to be shocking and grab their attention with and then they'll like my music. Maybe not. It might take away from the song. We miss out because you were busy being controversial. So, yeah, I mean, I don't get into all that. Like, a musician is a musician. I think I even saw a quote this week in Billy Bob Thornton. He goes, I don't know anything about politics. I'm a musician and an actor. You want to talk about music and movies, I'll be happy to talk about those all day. But because I'm not in a suit and making the laws, why would you ask my opinion of how they're being made? And I appreciate that because if there's something to say, he'll say it in his art. And then it's left loosely for interpretation, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about the second coming of Jesus. We just celebrated the ascension. And remember, the angels said to the apostles, what are you guys looking at? You know that Jesus who you've seen taken up will come back again in the same way that you see him going up to heaven, he's going to come back the same way. So we're talking about the second coming. And some people think, well, the end of the world, like when that's going to be, all this stuff going on. No. We don't know the day or the hour. Scripture is very clear. But what we need to prepare for is the end of our world when Jesus comes again in our lives when we die. Hmm. Will we be ready to meet Jesus? That's the question we're asking today. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to give a quick shout out to Jim and Carol and the team at Catholic Radio Network, celebrating an incredible 22 years. They continue to span with 21 stations, and your support, if you are supporting them, is what's keeping them strong. So thank you, and here's to 22 more as we, of course, celebrate all of our affiliates with EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, the second coming of Jesus. How are you preparing for the second coming of Christ in your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Elle's calling from a first-time listener, calling from somewhere in Texas. Boy, we're Texas heavy today. And that's where I am right now, in Rowena, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Welcome, Ellie, to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Great to hear from you.
Thank you. And I think it was awesome how the Lord led me here. I really like how you said, like, to prepare for the end times, not as, like, in the end for the whole entire world, but, like, for the world that we are living with Christ. And I think that's one thing that I have to remember is, like, not to worry, like you said, about the things around, but also to make sure that as I'm walking in this light or as I'm walking with Jesus, knowing that my salvation is already secure, I have the light of of Christ with me, so I can be on that hilltop, not hidden. I can shine that light on others through His word, through prayer, through, you know, leading and discipling others through in His name. You know, at the same time, though, like you said, there are things to be worried about and not to focus on it. And I think that's where I really like the implementation of, like, putting my faith first rather over having my feelings, because feelings can be wicked and deceitful. But with Jesus, you know, He really does provide all the answers we need, not just in scripture, but in prayer time, when we fast and when we praise His name. Like, so many times He just speaks to us, not just through within us, but through others. And I think that's important, is, like, not just knowing that we are already prepared as we are called saints and sons and daughters of the King, but we're able to shine that light to the unbeliever, to the people who are, you know, really deep in the sin. And it's like, well, that's why Jesus came. He came for them. He came for those people who don't know anything about Him or haven't experienced His love. But whenever we walk with Him, we can go to those people and be like, hey, yeah, I've been a sinner. I've been in sin too. And there's still things that the Lord is refining me on. At the same time, I don't want to gatekeep His goodness or His mercies or His love, you know? So that's something that I think as we all prepare for end times, or, like, either when we pass and go with Him, or whenever the rapture happens, or whenever however that ends up. I don't know everything about the doctrine stuff, but I do know that, you know, Jesus is here. He said in the word that there heaven will be on earth as it is in heaven. So it makes me remember, like, heaven is not something I have to wait for, or I have to be like, oh, I can't wait to get there. Like, heaven is now. Heaven is whenever I'm in prayer, when I'm, you know, trusting Jesus. And so it's just a process, but also I really like how you said not to worry, to have our faith over it first.
Yeah, thank you. You know, Jesus says that, that we are the light of the world, and that we are to not keep our light under a bushel basket where no one can see it. He said, put your light up on a hill so that people can see the good works that you do and give glory to God, not give glory to yourself. You don't put the light on the hill to draw attention to yourself. You put the light on the hill so to draw attention to Jesus working in and through you. Even as broken, even as sinful as we are, Jesus can use us for His glory, you know. And you talk about being prepared for the second coming of Jesus, and how sometimes, you know, we have to witness to that power of God's love so that we can help others in their preparation as well. You know, because Jesus said, you know, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. You know, so He's going to come again. And in fact, the Catechism talks about that. There's an entire section that talks about the Church's official teaching. It says, since the Ascension, God's plan has entered into its fulfillment. We are already at the last hour. So we've been at the last hour since Jesus ascended into heaven. According to the Lord, the present time is a time of the Spirit and a time of witness, but also a time of marked by distress and trials, which has been happening since the time of Jesus and the early church, the martyrs. We've been going through that for 2,000 years. There have been times of trials and tribulations and wars and rumors of wars and struggles and political intrigue and corruption and all kinds of things. You know, and so you also nailed it. We have to pray and fast. That's what we can do. Instead of worrying, worrying accomplishes nothing. We want to take an active role. We have to pray and fast. Those are the two things that we can do. And in doing those things, we are praying for the world, which Jesus asked us to do. And we're also praying for a deeper reception of the Spirit into our lives so we can be even greater witnesses as we prepare our own selves for the coming of Jesus, to also be that witness to help others be prepared as well. Love that. And would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. We're talking about the second coming of Jesus. How are you preparing for Jesus coming into your life? Not at the end of the world, which we don't know when that is. No one knows the day or the hour. Only God knows. When we're talking about the end of our world, when Jesus comes again, when we die. Will we be ready to meet Jesus? That's the question today. 833-288-EW10. How are you preparing for the second coming of Jesus in your life? 833-288-3986. Jeremy is calling from Arlington, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jeremy, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
How y'all doing?
I'm doing well. Great to hear from you.
You too. So how I prepare, I'm very simplistic. I got a rosary in my pocket to remind me how to act and treat other people every day. And I'm just recently started studying the Mass. Because as Catholics, it's the same thing. Every Sunday, we get into a habit of just saying it just to say it. But I want to understand more deeply what the greatest thing that Christ has given us. And that's the greatest prayer of all, and that's the Catholic Mass.
Yes, amen. You know, the Mass is the preparation for living with God forever in heaven. You know, we even say at Mass, when the priest holds up Jesus and the Eucharist says, behold the Lamb of God, behold the him who takes away the sins of the world, that's John 1:29, and we respond, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, or wedding supper of the Lamb, from Revelation 19. And so, So the Mass is a spiritual preparation for the eternal heavenly banquet, the wedding feast of in heaven with God forever. That's what the Mass prepares us for. And so I love the fact that the more that you and you realize, the more you study the Mass, the more you understand the why of the Mass, what's happening, why it's happening, how it's connected to my life, and how Christ, through that holy sacrifice of the Mass, is leading me to heaven, and how the Eucharist then empowers me and impels me to go forward to share the beauty of our faith with others, that's a beautiful preparation for Christ coming into our lives, which is active. This is something that we have to be thinking about and preparing for every single day. Yes, there's going to be times that we struggle. Yes, there's going to be times that we fall. And that's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation. You know, Jesus fell carrying the cross, and he got up and he kept moving forward. And the same is true for us. When we fall, we have the sacrament of God's incredible, unfathomable divine mercy and the sacrament of reconciliation, where we can pick up and then receive the Eucharist again, be strengthened by his love, and hopefully, you know, the more we open our hearts to receive God's love in that blessed sacrament, the less room we have for the sin or the near occasion of sin, right? To avoid those things that separate us from God's love. Absolutely love that. We're talking about the second coming of Jesus. How are you preparing for the second coming of Christ in your life? Not at the end of the world, but the end of our world, at our death. How are we preparing for the second coming of Jesus? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. You know, it says the apostles knew that Jesus was coming back because they heard the angel even say that he was coming back. But the question was when. You know, again, the church teaches that we are in the last hour. We are in the end times. We are in the Christ of coming is imminent, you know, using language of, you know, Jesus coming at the end, you know, and all of that. We've been talking about that for 2,000 years, right? So it's not, you know, pointing toward a day or a particular day or particular hour. You know, again, they tried this in the 1970s, you know, saying that the world was going to end. They tried it again in Y2K. The world was going to end in 2000. The time was going to stop. Also, and of course, nothing happened. You know, so we can't be worrying about that stuff. Yes, people are looking at what's going on in the world now and saying this is a fulfillment of the book of Revelation. No, it's not. Because the things of Revelation have been going on for 2,000 years. So basically, Jesus is even saying, look, all these things are going to be here with you. These are trials and tribulations and anxiety. And so all that's going to be here. But, you know, in the midst of all of that, we need to be, as a caller said earlier, lights in the darkness. We need to be that shining beacon of hope and truth in a world that is broken, confused, and hurting. Would love to hear from you. How are you preparing for the second coming of Christ in your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Anissa's calling from somewhere in Texas. So far, every call has been from Texas. Listening on Guadalupe Radio. Arissa, welcome to Anissa. Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello.
Hello. Great to hear from you today.
Yes. Hi, Deacon. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I'm sharing, I think, about, because I was, some years ago, I was diagnosed of having a cancer. Mm. So that moment when some doctor would tell you that you have cancer, so what are you, you know, thinking about? So that's a moment when you want to face God now, right?
Yeah.
I was not even thinking of, at that moment, I was not thinking of the chemotherapy, that, you know, the suffering I would have to undergo. I was thinking of how I'm going to meet God, because I was thinking of death already when your doctor says you have cancer, although I do not know at that point what stage of my cancer was. And so I was just thinking about it, how I'm going to meet God. I cannot do so much penance now, because I do not know, you know, the days and time I will have here on earth to do those things. And so I was not even thinking about the redemptive suffering. And I was just thinking about how I'm going to meet God. And so the day before my scheduled operation, I thought I would go to confession, because sometimes people die during the operating table. So that's what I did. And, you know, went to Mass, and I even have prepared myself, cut my hair, because I know I'm going to undergo a chemo. I think that's usually happens if you have cancer. So, but to make the long story short, so I just, you know, people would worry about the end of the world, that having World War III, and you should be thinking about, you're right, you should be thinking, how am I going to face God if God calls me now? And there's one saint, was it a saint or Mother Teresa, says that you should think every day your last day. So, you know, I thought I would share that to people listening, that you should be prepared every day, because you do not know when God calls you.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry to hear about your cancer diagnosis. And just recently, a very good friend of mine was also diagnosed with cancer as well. And so I hope, hopefully get a chance to see him soon. But you're right. We need to be prepared every single day. Jesus, no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour they're going to die. Even when you're sick, you don't know exactly when you're going to die. The doctor may say, well, you have this much time left, but that's just an estimate. They don't know for sure. Plus, you don't know what God's plan is. God's the one who gave us life, and God's the one who's going to call that life back to himself. You know, when God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. So you need to be prepared every day. But there are a number of saints who said we need to be prepared every day. St. Teresa of Calcutta, St. Benedict says that in his rule for monks that we have, that the monks should keep death daily before his eyes, not obsess about death, but just remember that you are going to die, right? Memento mori, which is a classical saying in the church, you know, remember that you're going to die, you know. And so, again, nothing we should be obsessing about or worrying about, but every day preparing our hearts. So you did the right thing. You went to confession. You received the Eucharist, you know, just preparing just in case that God does call you. You know, and that is something that we should be doing every single day, preparing ourselves. What if this is my last day? You know, some people wake up. You know, I think about people who, I remember there's a priest once who died in a car accident. You know, he woke up that morning, said mass, everything's normal, just and on his way, just running errands, bam, he's dead. I mean, he had no idea when he woke up that morning that would be his last day on earth. Right. So that's it. How do we prepare so that no matter when the end comes, we will be ready to meet Jesus? Love that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Beverly is calling from Pennsylvania. Beverly, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi. I just called because I'm at the hospital. My husband just died. Yes, just a few hours ago.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
He was not doing well. I stayed with him every night, but this one night I left. And I told him that he was not doing good, that he needed to call the doctor, and they didn't, and he died this morning.
Oh my God. Was he Catholic?
Yes.
Okay. Did the priest come and give anointing of the sick and then communion?
He had just died. I asked, but he didn't make it in time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you know, the fact that you were with him, you know, when we took those marriage vows, we vowed to be with our spouse until death. And the fact that you were there with him, loving him and consoling him all the way to the end, you lived out the beauty of those vows that you both made before God. So, you know, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Beverly. First of all, please know that every single person listening right now, your husband just died just a few hours ago. How long were you married?
32 years.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of Beverly and her husband. You know, even though the priest wasn't there, there was an intention there that the priest was going to be there. He was going to receive the last rites and possibly receive communion before he passed away. The priest just didn't make it in time. You know, but we can all pray for the repose of his soul. God is such a awesome God. He's such a God of love and mercy, and he wants all the children to be with him. Now, so what we can do is just pray for the repose of his soul and pray that God, you know, will welcome him into the heavenly kingdom. You know, that's the goal. When my parents died, you know, and same thing, you know, I miss them every single day, and I know you're going to miss your husband every single day, and I know it's really, really, really hard right now, and now you got to prepare for a funeral. But you know that you have your parish community who loves you and supports you. All of us here, your EWTN family, loves you, Beverly. and we'll be supporting and praying for you and for the repose of the soul of your husband. In fact, I'm going to have the priest, I'm going to ask the priest tonight to say a special mass for the repose of the soul of your husband and for you and for your family. Again, thank you for your beautiful call. All right, my friends, tomorrow we're going to talk about how the real presence of Jesus survived a bombing, you know, where the church was destroyed, but Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament was still intact. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. Until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.